Good morning. Happy Easter, could I say? This episode actually is coming out on Sunday, March 31st, which is not only Easter, but also happens to be my 41st birthday and the day of the 100th interview. It's not the 100th episode, but the 100th interview that I've done on my podcast, which I started right when I left radio, and I recorded it from where I sit right now, which is it was the former Food About Town studios, but I believe now it is the Lunchador Podcast Network studios, right?
Absolutely. And the name of this episode is Paulie Has Risen. No, it's great to have you here. And, you know, to have this guest on and talking to us in the studio is just one of those moments that, you know, I learned so much listening to radio, and it changed who I was as a person. And to have a real legend of radio, not just local radio, a radio legend talking to us,
Hall of Famer,
in the studio,
is
amazing.
Yeah, so I'm bad at like keeping the curtain closed. To roll back the curtain, we just finished interviewing Wheeze, and we're recording the intro after the actual interview because I like doing that because I like knowing what's coming up so I can tease what's coming up. But Chris pops up during the interview, was sitting here and was kind enough to come in, and I'm so sorry that you came in and like had to interrupt your day to do this, but I knew we had to kind of work around Wheeze's schedule or else we wouldn't get a sober Wheeze. You know what I'm saying?
It's the looseness that he is normally. Like, if we went to the next level, I'm not sure we could publish it. This is a podcast.
Yeah, if we did 7 p.m., you know, I don't know if he's partying as hard as he used to. But listen, I mean, we've got 2 minutes real quick before, because I want to get to the interview. But Lunch Door Podcast Network, how's it going so far? You're a month or two in, right?
Yeah.
You're the founder of the network, you and your partner. Give us the update.
Yeah, things are great. We're coming up on about 2 months in at this point, and you know what? It's been super heartening to see the interest from a lot of people that, one, want to do their own shows. Seeing that something like this is possible in Rochester has gotten that energy up. We've got our first advertiser coming up, so hopefully by the time this comes out, this will actually have an advertiser on this show. So that'll be, which is amazing that we can now not lose money. What a deal. And we get, you know, the support from somebody who I truly love. So I'm excited to bring that to everybody. But there's something about this, having everybody together. We're leaning towards like, hey, we're going to do a collaboration month in May where everybody's going to cross over on the different shows.
Oh,
like the old,
you
know, TGIF, you know, all the shows cross over and you do that thing. We're going to do that in May. So we had so many fun ideas coming up, and the best thing we can do is have a blast doing what we're doing. We love to talk about the stuff we're talking about. Why not do it together? That's the whole idea behind this is we're going to do something that's fun, that we all believe in, and we're going to do it together instead of apart.
Yes, yes. Boy, you know what's funny is getting now to get to the episode, and I'm so excited. And I you know, people have been asking me for a long time, when are you going to have Brother Wheeze on your podcast? And I didn't want to do it too early on, because I feel like too early on might have almost been like trying too hard, you know? And then, you know, there was a while where I almost forgot about it, where I was like, oh yeah, at some point I'll get to that. But then when I saw 100 creeping up, I said, okay, that's the obvious episode to have him on, right? So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this. The chance to talk to Wheeze, it was so like heartening. And it's funny because that's what's going on today. Today is Easter. I'm in Ohio right now getting ready to make sauce and ham for my family. But in podcast world, this is happening. And I have to tell you, today, the day we recorded this, I just came from Rotary where I saw Deanna King. And then I had a phone call from Doreen to set up the Zoom link for Brother Wheeze. And I got to talk to Brother Wheeze. And I have just had like a 3-hour period now of my past life reminders. And it's been really nice. Really, really nice. It's like brings a tear to my eye, and it's been sweet. And honestly, though, the person who made it happen is you, Chris. I am so thankful that you were able to come in and do this, you know, do the technical part of this interview, record this interview for me at this time. I'm so sorry to have disrupted your day, but so thankful that you did it. Thanks for doing it, man.
No, I appreciate you. I love the opportunity to talk to a legend and be involved in
and
a small Wheeze way.
And to a legend and Wheeze. Fuck, I'm kidding. That was stupid.
Oh, boo.
Maybe I'll go back and edit that part out. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. Anyway, thank you for doing this, Chris. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the legend, Brother Wheeze.
Thank you. The TV speak. What happened to the TV?
It keeps fucking up.
Can you turn it back on?
Yeah, fair.
What the?
Oh.
That's, I mean, you're just going to use the TV volume for him to be able to hear us?
That's what I was trying, but wait a second. It's not, I don't know what, I don't know why it just went off like it did.
Because this TV's completely.
Can you put it in the right mode? You don't have
I did it three times during. I know they're that okay, guy.
Can you guys talk and see if he can hear you?
I'm talking right now. I am having, I'm having flashbacks to a previous life right now.
No kidding.
Yeah, I hear you.
Look there.
Oh, you can hear me?
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I guess we're ready.
Yeah, if you can hear me and I can hear you, we're ready.
Can Bob, can you switch Polly with the guy that's the engineer?
What?
Well, yeah, I can. I can go off. I can go off, so you can always see him.
They can do him.
Well, hold on. We'll try this. How? Yeah, you should have hit pin. There you go.
Yeah.
There you that's go.
It. We rolling?
Everything
yeah.
good?
Oh. Yeah.
I thank feel you. Like I'm going to cry. Thank you, Doreen. Thank you so much. This is
oh
just,
my God.
What a blast from the past. This is so like just connecting and then seeing Doreen and you and talking to her before. This was so sweet. I'm going to cry a little bit.
Well, you should have. I just had dinner a few nights ago with Dr. Dave, his boy Dan, and Paul and Paulie Castronova.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's, well, compared to me, he's doing great, but compared to what he wants, he's an iHeart.
Uh-huh.
So I got to be careful.
No, I know. Yeah, I'm not going to push you. I won't push you in that direction at all.
But when it's over.
Yeah, I hear you. How are you still waking up every morning and loving it or what?
I'm not 9 to noon.
Yeah.
So today, for instance, 5:30, I'm up. I mean, after 30-something years.
Yeah.
So I'm up at 5:30, and I go to the gym, and I work out for an hour, then show prep, and I'm still done by 8. And then I have to turn all this shit on, and that's radio show.
Does it
the
take
only
you?
Bummer.
Yeah.
The only bummer, Polly, is when I'm done at noon, and then I fuck around with Lonsbury and Jeremy Newman. I'm still thinking it's 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And I have a day ahead of me. But now that it's the middle of the day, fucks up my fun.
If you could choose, would you rather be on at 6 a.m. or are you really digging this?
No, this is at my point in life. This is my shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you at all. People have asked me this. They think that we talk a little bit, but we don't talk that much. But people ask me all the time if it was the type of thing that you were behind that, or were you informed of that, the 9 a.m. thing?
You or me?
People ask me that all the time about you, and I'm like, I don't work there anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I was informed, but happy.
Yeah.
I was informed, but. Praise Jesus.
Yeah. The condo that you're in right now, I had the opportunity to tour once. Is so
this one?
Yes, I think so, right? It's not the old one. You moved into a new one where the
you were here.
Yeah, you're like right on the water now. I mean, what a dream come true. And I see Mr. Idlin every once in a while, and I always tell him that you give him credit. Him and Doreen, obviously. Mark Idlin.
Oh, you see Mark.
I see him at Rotary. I see him at Rotary sometimes.
Mark Idlin and Doreen.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I would be so poor.
You would have been a lot more fun, though. You would have been back when you were still in Rochester. If you didn't have anyone watching your finances, we would have had probably a lot more fun afternoons.
Yeah, I would have. I would have definitely never would have been at this dream.
Yeah, true.
But shoot. Shuby was just here last week.
Did he come up? Came up to the con?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, it's so funny, Pauline, because I got to be careful how to say this, but I have friends here from Rochester that have way fancier shit.
I know.
Than this.
I remember. We talked about it on the air. Like the Nooch's place is just unreal.
But since you were here, they have the penthouse now, which is better. Worse than that.
They moved up from the joint that was already a palace? Oh, my God.
A palace.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you this, Brad, but you'll know who she is if I told you. But we were just at her crib last night, behind where the Nooches live. And her apartment, which is extremely expensive, is not as nice as mine. But her balcony is to die for.
Does Donahue still have that place like on the corner on the Intercoastal? Remember he had a house like on the Intercoastal?
Are you serious, Mike Donahue? Bro?
What?
Bro.
Oh, I don't know. Uh-oh.
Bro, if you put write down Patty Donahue.
Patty.
P-A-T-T-I.
Okay.
Write that down, and when you're ready, go to Facebook, Patty Donahue.
Okay.
Bro, he tore that house down. Were you there? Were you ever in the house?
No, I was never inside, no.
He tore it down and he built, you'll see it in the face, sick. There's, I can't tell you the number. The number is, you know, they don't have stuff in Rochester that expensive, none.
I mean, no rich, way. Like rich? Rich is just having that house to begin with is stupid rich. Getting that house and then knocking it down and building a new house on top of it is fucking crazy rich. That's unreal.
Paulie, yeah. I was in the old one a lot and I loved it. It was, and where it was on the Intercoastal, he knocked it down and the new one, which has been 2 years already, still ain't ready.
Yeah. So does he come down still? Does he stay in somewhere while it's being built or something?
Yeah, they got, well, but he's right, they're up and back.
Yeah.
But here he's got a someone else's house that he rents like a street over from where his is.
So now that you're in paradise, you've been there for almost a decade at this point. Do you miss Rochester at all, ever?
You know, I have to be careful with the radio show and shit because you're supposed to. But, you know, two nights ago, I was with Ponytail and Mark and Mike Castiglione.
Oh.
Okay. You know Mike.
Yeah,
right?
I know them both. Yeah.
So, I shouldn't have said this. I can't even tell you. Because he's a, you know, he owns Hooligans.
Yeah.
And they just opened in Madison and they're killing it out there.
Yep.
So I can't say anything negative about Rochester. But the whole point is this, let me be honest, for your sake. When you're here, you've been, but when you're here, there is so fucking much to do that you can't compare. And our friends in Rochester, for instance, the crew we know, you know, they go to four restaurants over and over and over and over. And then, but you do have the good festivals. You do.
Yeah.
The Jazz Festival, Lilac Festival. You know, my boy Dino does Fridays at the Record Archive. There's play. Jiva is phenomenal. There's a lot of great stuff. But if I had a crib in town, Rochester, I would like it a lot more. But when I got to come back to Soda's Point,
yeah, it's tough.
I'm out in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, listen, I'm so excited that you're so happy and so grateful that you're doing this because I wanted the chance to tell you something and ask you something. And the thing I wanted to tell you was that I am so grateful for the time that I got to spend with you because there have been in my life probably a half a dozen things or so that I really think shaped me and turned me into who I am today, which, you know, I've got a lot of problems, but I'm proud of where I'm at in life.
Should be.
And you are one of those major things that helped shape that. I mean, getting the opportunity to be around you for an entire decade really taught me to be comfortable in my own skin, I think was one thing.
Yeah, that was a big thing, yeah.
I was not good at that when I first walked into your studio. I was not comfortable in my own skin.
I have to interject, tell you something funny.
Yeah.
There's another guy who I think you met that I did the same exact thing for, and that's BJ.
Yes. Yeah.
BJ presented like you wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah. You did this thing. You taught authenticity, right? Like, I was in 2010 when I started working with you. I think I actually put thought into what should I do? What type of person should I be? And then after, you know, not very long with you, I started realizing just be who you are. Just be who you are. And it was just the greatest life lesson. I'm just forever thankful to you for that.
But I want to go to the sauce.
Yeah.
Because you are an unbelievably hard. I've never seen anybody go like that. I mean, you know, we helped at the beginning, but you didn't drop it there. You know, I can't even believe how far you've gone. And even the Rotary that you're in, and probably an officer, are you?
President-elect, actually.
Oh, my God. But even the Rotary that, to me, you know, I'm admitting it was always like the lamest shit in the world. But for business and stuff, man, it's probably done a ton for you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, there was a lot. I mean, anybody... I always try to remind people. I mean, I get the opportunity to speak all the time, luckily, and I always tell people being on the radio was a huge catalyst at the beginning. Of course it was. Of course. Yeah, I'm never going to deny that. I mean, that's not to say that you can just go on the radio and say, hey, I make sauce now, and you don't have to lift a finger. Right. You got to work your ass off that's beyond right. that. But it was you the did. Two things combined. Without those two things combined, it wouldn't have worked. If I didn't have a radio, it wouldn't have worked. And if I didn't work my ass off, it wouldn't have worked. Both were combined. For sure.
I will tell you that I think of your sauce all the time because there's a bunch of stores where I live.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously Whole Foods is in Rochester now too. But then we got a place I go to regular called Fresh Market. And it might just be, but it's a chain.
Yeah.
I mean, your shit's supposed to be in there.
Well, I can tell you, I can't say because there's, so we're a co-packer now. So I don't know if you know that or not, but we make other people's products. So there is stuff in your local stores made at my plant, but I have confidential. Yeah. I'll text you what it is afterwards, but you gotta be, the problem is, you know, I never know what you're going to say on the air or not, but there's, tell you there is something you can buy, at least one item you can buy in your local store that was made in my plant. Yeah. So I'll text you off the air.
Okay, but here's what I don't get. The guy you're packaging that for, do you know personally?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I could tell the story, but the actual client, like the end, the person who actually pays us is a major food company that I'll just text it to you right now so you know exactly what I'm talking about. A major food company that everyone in the world has heard of, and I'm not willing to fuck with that NDA. With that confidential, so, I just texted you the name of the company.
Okay, but what I'm saying is I thought it might have been a guy like you, but it's a big thing. But won't they try to help you get in these stores all over?
It's different. It's like it's their product made to their specifications. So truthfully, we're just a vessel for them. They don't even... No, I mean, I don't want to say they don't care. They don't even know. But I texted you the name of the company if you want to see what I'm talking about, because it's a pretty big company.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's too big.
Yeah. And again, I wish I could, but I'm not willing to fuck with saying on the air what I just texted you because it's not worth it. Ever. Yeah.
Wait, I have to ask you.
Yep.
How the fuck did they find you?
All right, so, let me see how close I can get to doing this without actually truly breaking confidentiality. So there's a guy in Rochester who created the recipe that they are using and who just didn't have the facility. So when he got picked up, he needed a facility, and I knew him. And so he came to me and he said, you have the facility to be able to actually do the work that this company wants me to do. Can we partner on it? And I said, yeah. And so we had the manufacturing capability to bring his recipe to that company. And then now it's in every store in, I think it's even in Canada too. It's like almost every store in the country.
Is that the guy that used to be next to the dogs? I won't go too deep.
Next to the dogs.
You know what? The dog training joint, the guy with the
bunny. Oh, no, that was John, Flower City Pasta John. No, not him.
Yeah.
It's another guy. He was a guy we had in the studio once. We did have him in the studio before. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy that used to be your idol, I don't want to say his name either.
Yeah.
But... he's got two cribs down here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if the king was just part. You know, that guy's a partier.
You talk about Giovanni. Are you talking about Mr. Ledestri? Is that who you're talking about? Yeah. Yes, do you remember when you and I met him at Midvale Country Club and he invited us like on his yacht or something? And you were like, he doesn't mean it. I was like, come on. He gave you his number. We got to go.
Bro, that's where I can't remember who was just here. It was on the boat. And, you know, it's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who the hell was it? Somebody that was just here.
I
might have been the king.
Weez, I don't get starstruck that often, but I came face to face with him within the last 6 months, and I didn't know what to say. Like I literally just I froze. It was like I was meeting Paul McCartney or something. I froze.
Is his business still kill?
They're the big boys. I mean, if I'm like a high school baseball team, they are the Yankees. You know, in this business. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and I'm still a huge, huge fan. But listen, can I ask you, I wanted to ask you, though, I said I had I wanted to tell you something, I wanted to ask you something. So I got the chance to tell you, and I'm so thankful, too, that a couple years ago I got the chance to come to Fort Lauderdale and go out to dinner with you and tell you that in person. I really wanted to make sure I got that off my chest, how appreciative I am of that. We spent a lot of time together. Obviously, we were going to eventually get on each other's nerves here and there. I mean, I was around you more than my wife many days. I wanted some true honest to God feedback from you on what I was like as an employee. Cause now I got employees and I know what it's like. And so now I know, and now there are a couple things I think, and I go, oh man, I sucked as an employee. can you give me some honest to God? It's okay if it's harsh. Give me some feedback. You know, I'll take a little good with the bad, but mostly bad. I want to hear the bad stuff. What did I suck at?
Well, here's the only thing that, When we had the big fights.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me being at that time, maybe 30 years in, say 25 anyway.
Yep.
And there was a period of my career, which is not now, but there was a period of my career where I owned everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and nationally known and the whole thing. And when you came in and I wanted you because I heard the shit you were doing. And when we used to have the fights over, I'll never forget the ones when you used to say, and you're going to deny this, but you won't deny part of it. But when you used to say what's trending, and that was early in the trending world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember once in particular, it was like, not Britney. Well, what's her name? The broad that's in trouble now.
Britney Spears.
Britney.
Yeah.
It was like Britney Spears and stuff. And because it was trending, which I'm sure it was, you know, you wanted to do stuff on that, and I didn't. And so we would have a fight.
Yep.
That is the only fucking thing, Paulie. I am sorry. I can't give you much negative because I thought you were great. And I will tell you, I got to be careful here, too. But in the scheme of things, you were one of the best in the whole run.
I appreciate now,
But you got to understand, sometimes, I mean, I had producers for 10 or 15 or 20 years that didn't do your gig. I ran the board.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just, you know, Joe T was my fucking producer for a while.
I know.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
The word. He got us in trouble and everything.
Yeah.
LeGrette. By the way, I had dinner with LeGrette last week.
Oh, how's he doing?
Sort of killing it. He's definitely rich.
I want to give you a warning that I don't want this to be over yet, but because I have the free Zoom because I'm a cheap motherfucker, we only have 3 minutes left because it took us a while to get connected at the beginning.
Sure.
So probably what we'll do is I'll just send you another link, just re-click on it, and we'll keep going.
Boy. Boobie.
I'm sorry.
Boobie.
I'm throwing such a curveball. And I don't know where I'm going to actually start this, but at there was maybe some technical difficulties at the beginning, so we were on for a while before we started. Because I think you get 40-minute time limit, but we didn't start talking till just a little while ago.
I need you a minute to get back on.
I did a lot worse than that. That was, and honestly, you said I wasn't going to admit that. Oh, I'll admit that. Not understanding the target. I want to tell you this. I think I am so mad. I had dinner with Billy DeTore. This is probably now 4 or 5 months ago at this point. And I told Billy, I said, you know, I was so far behind on something that you were ahead on, because you used to always say something. You used to always talk about radio's dead, right? It's over. But I don't know that it's dead. I just think it's more niche than it used to be. You know what I mean? Like, and you were very good, the best I've ever seen, at serving your audience. You knew your audience, right? And I had come from like this radio 101 school of like mainstream and, like you said, trending and like what's getting the big numbers on Twitter right now, and that was what we should be talking about. And I look back now and I go, I was just dead wrong about that. Serving your audience, I should have embraced that. I missed that. I fucked that up, and I owe you an apology for that, because embracing your audience was the right call the whole time, and I got that wrong.
Boy, poor fucking boy. I'll tell you, when it started going, like, you were you still with me after when him and Doug and all that, they out of them?
I still worked there when Billy got laid off. I think Doug, I still worked there for that too. Yeah. Yep.
You know, and Billy was so much my brain, as you know, and now it's even worse. There's so much shit that I know he knows the answer to.
Yeah.
That it's not available.
Yeah. I think.
And I felt bad how much he loved it in the music show. I mean, that was his shit.
Yeah.
The music show.
And listen, I mean, I love Billy, and I think he would admit this if he was here in a heartbeat. You know, skill set wise, sure, you could find somebody straight out of communications school that maybe can fly around Adobe Audition faster than Billy can, but you can't replace what he had with your audience, which was that he was loved by your audience, and you can't replace that with anything. That is impossible to manufacture.
100%. So it's
we're gonna get booted here. So just I'm gonna resend you another link and we'll keep talking. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Hold on.
Bobby. Bobolini. By the way,
oh shit! I hung up with during the by the way. All right. Let me see here. So, or do I have to let you in still?
You still have to let me in.
Oh, I gotta let you in. Okay.
And all right. I'll just verify real quick that we still have our audio going, which we do.
Is we good? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, we recording. Recording. Good. Okay.
We're back live, ready to roll.
Thank you, Dory.
I just found out. I have the two old sisters, pretty much older than me, and the one that plays poker every week had really bad cancer, and she's sort of dying, sort of, but she. Would you believe she has an aide? She's nuts. This is my nuts one. She wants the aide to take her to the casino, sit there. My sister can't even walk. She wants her to take her to the casino so she can play poker and sit there behind her. But I just found out from Doreen, she had a heart attack last night. She's in the hospital. God. Well, she's definitely, she's 85 and not going good. Meanwhile, I just had this gangster on the show the other day. Maybe it was last week. And there's a guy that he's a mafioso from the Colombo family. His father was the boss, and he squealed. He informed on his father. And his father was in jail. They had to put him in the witness protection program, changed his name, and obviously a location. And his father, one reason I'm bringing it up, his father, when he got out of jail, you know, they had to keep him witness, but he just died, the father, 103. 103.
You go into witness protection, you assume the guy's got like 10 years left, and then the guy lasts to 103.
Yeah.
103, bro. And, you know, I always wonder that bullshit that people believe. You know, about karma is going to, so many of the most murderous gangsters in the world live to be 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And then wasn't there a beautiful young teacher in Rochester that just passed away, like in her classroom? Like, life is not fair.
Is she Kendall? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she was 29-ish.
That's like you said. That's the although maybe the 103-year-old gangster had a terrible last couple of years, like just shitting his pants left and right. Because honestly, like if you think about that, if you get to that point and you're shitting your pants and you can't eat anything you want to eat, like what at that point you can't fuck. You know, well, you can't. Now I got to remember, I'm a business person now. You can't make love.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, he'll never find out about this. That's for sure. But our friend Joe T is in bad shape.
I was shuffling. I was afraid to ask. I didn't. Is he? Is he on his own? Does he live alone, or what does he do?
Lives alone. Okay. Has a walker. Can't go anywhere unless this kid Tulio, not the Tulio.
Yeah.
Tulio Geraci will pick him up, take him shot. But T is, and I talk to him minimum once every 3 days. Now I feel so guilty because I'm usually on the way to the casino for poker that he always loved to do, and so bad. T.
I owe Joe T forever. I think I've told you this before, but I don't blame you if you don't remember. But Joe T convinced Dom from Calabrasella's to sell my sauce early on.
Oh, yeah.
And then the merchant from Wegmans went into Calabrasella's for lunch and got a jar of my sauce and brought it back. And that's how we originally got into Wegmans back in like 2014. And I've always, anytime I saw Joe T after that, I always said to him, I said, you basically made my life by with that. So between you with the radio and Joe T with the Calabrasellas, that sealed the deal. I owe you guys forever.
Hey, how's Calabrasellas on Park Avenue?
Good. It's good. The one in Fairport didn't go. They had Avon, Fairport, Park Ave, and then the original. The original's always gangbusters. Park Ave, I think, is doing just fine. Avon's doing just fine, but Fairport, for whatever reason, didn't go. I don't know why that one
Where
didn't.
Was it?
It was
Where
in the was gas it? Station, kind of like... Was maybe that the reason, you think? Because it was just that guest, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about, like, Park Ave needed something like that. It needed that Italian flair, you know, that little bit of classic something, where otherwise you had to go to, you know, go to Lyle Ave, go to Chachia's, go to Calabrasella's, all in that, you know, old school Lyle Ave area, Ron Cohn's, you know, the old school stuff.
Ron Cohn's.
Yeah, but Calabrasella's, at least of the originals, that's where I would go. I mean, I know his sister is Lucy Petropalo. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, they have a regular, they have the meat counter, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But did they have that in Fairport? Could they do all of that?
You know, they did have like a case in there, I think they, you know, with cannoli and maybe some meats and stuff. But it didn't have that original Calabrasella's just has that feel where it works and people go in there for that. And I don't know that people were going into... I don't know. For whatever reason, Fairport just didn't work. I don't know enough about it to know why. But
how's the Red Market doing?
Redbird Market is doing well. Ryan left Dixon Schwabel. I don't know.
Know that.
Yeah. And so she's full time with that now. And I, you know, that's also been a bit of a dream come true, because that was the type of thing I never thought was in the cards for us. But I went in there to deliver sauce one day, Wheeze, and the woman that owned it told me it was my last delivery. And I said, "Whoa, what did I do wrong?" And then she explained to me, she said, "No, we're hanging it up." And I said, I'm surprised nobody wanted to buy it. You're always busy. Like, I just thought this would be like the type of business somebody would buy. And she says, "Well, to tell you the truth, you're the first person I've told." And I said, "What?"
Hi there, this is Magnus of The Mind of Magnus, a show dedicated to help expanding the mind that I have in this big skull of mine. I've grown up with the love of factoids and curious about the world, so I'm taking the time to interview all the most amazing people I've met. So join me for The Mind of Magnus. You can find it at magnusapollo.com. And if you have a guest, you want to be a guest, you want to learn more about what's going on in this world, please join me here on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Dario.
And Chris.
Of Refined Taste Podcast here on the Lunchador Podcast Network. Are you a Rochester foodie or a fan of hilarity? If you answered yes to either or both of those questions, Refined Taste is for you.
Every episode, we talk with representatives of Rochester's food and beverage scene, tell their stories, and have plenty of fun and laughs along the way.
We'd be honored if you checked it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday.
Oh, could you do me a favor and tell nobody else?
Oh my God.
How long has it been, a couple, 3 years? It's going on 2 years now. Going on 2 years. Yeah. And then we did our due diligence and pretty quickly over the next few weeks. And honestly, they're profitable, but they already were a profitable business doing a decent little volume. And we went in there. It's 99.9%. My wife and my mother-in-law, I have very, very little to do with it, but, it dropped in our laps and I'm so happy it did.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mostly same kind of way, same stuff.
Yeah. Do you still love peanut butter?
I used to go there all, I went for it.
I know.
I got a jar that I just looked at it today because of where it was. That's what made me think of it.
Do you still love peanut butter? I'll send you a box down if you want.
Don't do it.
No, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Bro.
Yeah.
I'm sick because every morning I'm trying to be healthy. It doesn't work because I eat wings. You should see how much. But anyway.
Yeah.
For breakfast, though, I have yogurt with protein powder, peanut butter.
All right.
Mixed it and some blueberries for fake health. But I do peanut butter every single day.
All right. I'm going to put a box together for you. I'll get it out by the end of the week.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll give you all the different flavors, too. They got about 16 different flavors.
Well, be careful. I don't want to fuck around with flavor. What's the flavor of peanut butter?
Well, some's easy. Some's just like chocolate peanut butter, chocolate. I mean, that's basically like just eating a Reese's peanut butter cup, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And then they've got like vanilla, macadamia nut, I think.
Speaking of fake health, throw some chocolate in there.
Yeah, chocolate peanut butter, yeah.
Those sounded good, man. Believe me.
Well, whatever you don't like, just give away or save it for when the kids come or something,
I'm pretty sure I'll like all of them. I'm just worried about the caloric intake.
Yeah, they're not good for you. I mean, some of them are not. It is what it is. So how do you like being a granddad? That did not exist when I was with you. Do you feel it in your heart when you're holding those little babies?
It's unbelievable.
Isn't that funny?
It turns you into a wussy. To see my kids, someday you will.
Yeah.
It's a long way up for you, but it'll come and then you'll go, where'd that time go?
Yeah.
But I have three now. Abby has two, and Jake and Bianca have Ronan McCronin. And, to watch, it's not just the grandchildren. It's watching your packages be parents.
Mm-hmm.
That is, just brings it all in.
Yeah. Hopefully Doreen doesn't get mad at me for this, but Doreen, you often would refer to Doreen as being a frugal person. Grandparents are notorious for showering their grandchildren with anything they want. Have the grandkids cured Doreen's frugality?
No, but with the grandkids, you're right. Oh my God. When they come here, different sets. She goes out and buys every toy, every outdoor. Why are you doing this? We have a storage unit down in the basement that's full of baby stuff. I mean, we have a crib. We had to buy a beautiful crib, new mattresses. She buys, we have the high chair. Plus the toys and everything else, forget about it.
Yeah,
she'll hold back. No, but you're right, frugal. She's the cheapest skate in the planet.
But grandkids tend to change that, though. Like my parents, my parents were never truly frugal, but like my parents just show up with everything I wasn't allowed when I was a kid. My kid is allowed to have rules are out. I'm going, where, whatever happened to your rules? Like they'll give them candy before dinner. I'm going, where the fuck was the candy before dinner when I was five? You know,
how's Leo?
Oh, he's great. He is so great. I mean, he has got such a personality, and that's been a lot of fun. And as he's getting older now, our likes are starting to cross over, like Mario Kart, for example. 7 years ago, if I tried to play Mario Kart, I needed to realize I was a grown man, according to my wife. Now I'm a good father if I play Mario Kart.
So. How old is he?
He's 5.
Oh, damn, what a great age.
Yeah, yeah.
What fun.
Yeah, and he loves going to the movies. Chuck E. Cheese. I love going to Chuck E. Cheese, by the way. I get myself a card, too, and we both play the games. We're like dudes. It's great.
Does he play any soccer or anything?
Yeah. So I hope he's going to listen to this maybe a couple decades from now and get mad at me for this. But I think he's got my athleticism, which is little to none, slim to none, because he is not. But I do have this video like that. I think I'm going to put on social media because I want help on it. And that is, so he loves music, like watching Disney and like the music parts of the Disney movies.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And my wife sent me this video of him like performing in our living room from this movie he loves called Wish, which is a Disney. And he's like doing the gestures and like singing along. But then we take him we sign him up for baseball, and he doesn't give a shit about baseball. He's bored. And I'm telling Ryan, I'm going,
don't
like, he's telling us he wants to do, he doesn't know how to tell us that yet because he doesn't know he can sign up for things. He is advertising that he wants to be a theater kid. We got to sign him up. So I'm going to put that video on Facebook and say, can anyone help me? Like, where does a 5-year-old go for theater? I don't know if that exists.
You know, it's not like you don't have contacts. Like, you're in contact with, like, the Rochester Broadway Theater League.
I guess I am on
the
board.
You have all the contacts.
I am on the board of the Broadway Theater League. I guess, well, I do know somebody.
Besides Arnie running the joint, how many people are on the board?
Board is probably 16 or so people, but it's still the same regime. Linda Glosser, John Parkhurst, you know, and Arnie. That's the same regime as for years.
What does the board do?
Board mostly fundraises. Mostly it's about fundraising, but also board has to be involved on any major decisions and things like that. So I was honored to, you know, I liked that when they would come up. I actually liked that, even though we talked earlier about how I personally liked theater. And so when I was getting ready to leave radio, I made like a pro and con list. And one of the top things on my con list was losing those Tuesday night free tickets to the Broadway shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Ryan and I just looked at each other and we were like, well, what's stopping us from just becoming season ticket holders? So I bought the season tickets, and then Arnie would see me there and John would see me there all the time. And then one day they just walked up to me literally like 20 minutes before a show in the lobby. And they said, hey, we were wondering if you'd like to join. And I was honored by that. And I'm happy to be there. It's great.
You should. Do you remember? I think you were still with me when we had like Jersey Boys in the studio, yeah, and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we used to get all those plays. It was good.
Yeah, talented people. I do remember always that they wouldn't sing because they like weren't allowed to, yeah, or something. That was the only thing that kind of sucked about them coming up. But it was still cool to get to know that. That actually reminds me of one of my first, speaking of hokey, I'd like to call myself out for a terrible corny bit that I tried to do, and I was so pissed off at you, but you were so right on this. So it was like, I had been with you for like 10 minutes. I mean, I'm talking about, it was like 3 months into being with you. And they were going to bring up the actor who played Ebenezer Scrooge for A Christmas Carol at Jiva. And, you know, I was getting, and in my defense, I was getting some pressure from upstairs saying like, look, you know, I don't know if we should be having theater. And also, and I was guilty of saying like, you're right, guys, we shouldn't have the theater. So, but I'm like, but he really wants to have him on. So they're going, okay, come up with an angle. So I had come up with this idea that he was going to come on in character as Ebenezer Scrooge. And I told him, and I told Don from Jiva, and he comes in and he sits down, and for about 10 seconds he's in character as Scrooge, and you were just like, bro, cut it out.
Stop. Did that with everybody. Explain what you do. But you know, when you told me about, you just told me, and of course I did not know that, but that happens all the time. Management. God damn it. Rochester, New York, art. This is, I mean, how do you not give him 15 minutes on his bullshit morning radio show and help people?
Hey, absolutely.
Help people turn people on to going to a show they might never have thought of going to.
And here's the thing, from the way to actually argue that to radio management too, is that because Rochester is a diary market, right, where people have to actually write down what they listen to, even if somebody doesn't like that, they don't think poorly of you for doing it. They think, that's really sweet. He's having the, you know, the Cancer 5K. He had them up. And they might, it is true, maybe they will change a channel, I don't know. But even if they do change a channel, they do it still thinking that you had done a great thing because you had had them on. So they're still going to vote for you when they get a diary because they like you for doing that, even if they maybe didn't listen to it.
But here's what kills me. Maybe you of all people can help me with this and explain it. To me, these more radio shows, I was going to say morning, these talk shows, it's just different people talking. Every single fucking show on the planet has a part that someone loves and a part that someone doesn't like.
Yeah.
But you have to fill the air with talk. And God, I mean, that's good. That's interesting shit. Kills me. There's people that don't like... Listen, I love John DeTullio, but even sports, there's people that don't want to know who played third guy on the fucking basketball team for Syracuse.
Yeah.
I would contend that 95% of the audience can't name two dudes on University of Syracuse. But it's a big thing to a small number of people, and we could service them. But I mean, I don't see what is... I mean, we actually, Doreen, because she's on the show now and shit, she listens to every radio show. Drives me fucking crazy. I go, and she goes, you got to hear this. This sucks. Or you got, I don't give a fuck. Everyone's doing something. But I will tell you this, and there's no way it'll ever get back to him. One of my best friends, he just invited me on a cruise. Once again, Paulie Castronovo, iHeart, down here in this big market. So I only work 4 days a week now. I'm off every Wednesday or any other. In my contract, they said I could only work 3 if I want. I can't even do that with a straight face. You know what I mean? But anyway,
that's awesome.
We're up on Wednesday. And Doreen and I were going somewhere, and we tuned, you know, any chance I get there, Paul, I put it on. Bro, 2 songs. We heard in a long ride, we heard a song, whole record, ads, a song coming out, like we bump with the whole song. Mm-hmm. Bro, if I played 2 records in an hour, you wouldn't even hear us with the commercials.
Right.
So
right.
Many. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, he makes a ton of money.
That was one thing I think that I got to see from, I was in radio from 2005 to 2020. And one thing I got to see, I think, was in 2005 through maybe 2010 or so, radio was pretty good about getting top dollar for their ads, and probably obviously even before 2005. And so there would be kind of less ads, but they would make just as much, if not more money. But then as soon as things started going downhill for radio, they started just being whores, just like whatever we can get, 10 bucks spots, 10, 20 bucks for a spot on the morning drive. Like what? And so now all of a sudden they had 10 minutes worth of ads they had to cram in. And man, you know, that's difficult to compete when you got to play 20 minutes of ads in an hour. That's such a tough thing for you to have to have.
Well, I have to once again protect my
job. I know, I'm sorry. I know.
But the whole thing is every day, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
Every day. I mean, I go back maybe 2 years when I used to fight with management, not that, you know, I used to fight, look, all I want to tell you is I don't want to hear anything about ratings. I don't want to fucking hear it. Because usually management, when they're for ratings, thinks it's the show. But the fucking show, they play too many commercials in a short commute city.
Yeah.
What's a Rochester commute? 20 minutes?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
20 minutes? Someone might catch, you know, a lot of commercials in 20 minutes, so I can't compete. But I have to do whatever we have to do. And yeah. Keep ordering for my grandchildren and brother Weed.
But, you know, Rochester's always been, a cool city because I don't know to what extent ratings truly mattered. I think they mattered on national, you know, with like national buys where they just looked at ratings. But with local buys, I saw one of the best moves I ever saw. Remember Ray Noon? I think he's probably still around, right?
Still there.
I loved Ray Noon. I went with him to, there was like a Hooters, but it was an Irish pub Hooters that opened in on Jefferson Road at one point. It was, the girls were in like kilts.
The Tilted Kilt.
Tilted Kilt. Yeah, Tilted Kilt.
Yeah.
And he brought me there on a sales call. And he made this pitch. And then the manager of the restaurant was like, well, we've decided to advertise with CMF. And Ray goes, okay, all right, I understand. He says, I just want to understand. I want to get better at my job. Can you tell me why you chose CMF? And the guy goes, ratings. And Ray goes, I understand. But can I show you something real quick? Can we walk over to that bar right now and I'll name every personality on CMF? And what you'll find is, and I don't want to say their names because they're good people, but I mean, at this point I've gone too far, but you know, and he says, Tommy, obviously people know Tommy, right? He says, Tommy, they might know Tommy. The other two, you know, because they're not going to know. Let me ask if they know Brother Weeze. Everyone at that bar over there is going to know Brother Weeze. And that manager was pretty floored by that. I thought it was a fantastic sales bit moment because it's about brand in Rochester. You have the brand. So to your point, I don't think it really does matter what your ratings are. You've got the brand, and that's the thing that you can't create. You can't just make that.
Well, I mean, I worked a million years for that, but still, you know, I mean, I have friends that, I mean, I just have to be careful. The commercials is overloaded.
Yeah.
And it's funny we're doing this today, because today, this morning on the radio, oh my God, you wouldn't believe it.
You mentioned you got a pretty friendly contract these days, 3 days a week. That ain't bad, bro.
Yeah, but I never do it.
No, I know.
I can't conscience, you know, do 3 days a week when I know there's people that listen.
Yeah.
That they're bummed out I'm not there Wednesday, which played best off.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that also plays to authenticity, right? Like, that's all we're talking about. All those things that Polly brought up and you're talking about, the fact that people stick around for all of these years that know your name in Rochester, they know the show and they know everybody on it, is because that's something that everybody knows. Even if they don't talk about it, they know you're authentic. They know you're living the life you talk about on the show. You're bringing your people to the show. And that just echoed when we were talking earlier with, you know, when Polly's talking about, hey, your opinion of me, mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, you were you from the beginning. And I think that's the thing that kind of echoed in the whole conversation is like authenticity is the real thing that we're talking about this whole time.
Well, I have to tell you the funniest thing and the weakest thing. I have been so lucky in life. The reason that I'm authentic completely is because I have no talent and I'm not fucking around here. I have no talent. I can't do an act. Well, I got to tell you this. You're going to love this. Just thinking of an act. So that's the whole deal. What's my man's name?
Chris. Chris Lindstrom.
Brother Chris, I have to tell you, this whole run has just been the fact that I'm that guy. And I don't have any talent. Like, when I first got on radio, you know, everybody was doing the radio voice, and which you forget that it's impossible. And they were doing radio by the book. And I didn't have the talent to do it. So they took a shot and the rest was all luck. But I got to tell you this. So I told you about going to dinner with Dr. Dave and Paul.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Dave's wife, I don't have to worry about this podcast. Dr. Dave's wife does that bit. The War of the Roses. Do you know the bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of course.
You've heard the bit. Now, she's an actress.
Yeah.
She's the actress. And so Doreen is sitting with her. I'm with the fellas. And so she bonded with her, and she said, Doreen, we were eating dinner in Boca, so we got about 35-minute ride home anyway. And she wanted to hear the bits. I go, I don't even want to hear this shit. she puts on the first Water Roses bit. It's really well done, but oh, yeah. So fucking fake, Jesus yeah. Christ. And I could, you know, I know that they're successful. I know people love them, but I can never, ever, ever do something that fake. And then after we heard the first one, she goes, I want to play another one. I go, that one killed me. I got to fucking hear another one. I don't. And we put... But the whole funny thing was I was drunk from dinner, yeah. And I go, oh, boy, I can't. Monday, I'm telling the whole fucking story, and I think Rover uses them. I'm not sure.
It's a staple. It's a staple of that kind of radio, and it's a time filler, and you don't have to think about it, and you don't have to actively produce something, but it's... It's the radio I listen to, and the reason I do what I do now with podcasts and being involved with Polly and like 10 other shows in town is real people talking about the things they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And that is an echo to the people that did what you do, is the people who couldn't help themselves but be themselves.
Yeah.
And weren't just doing the hacky shit every day. They're the people that just wanted to talk about something interesting. And yeah. It's what's interesting to you. That's what matters.
Look, can I tell you, Weezy, you probably don't remember this. We definitely told you this on the air one time, but I would.
You guys did some on me.
We signed up for a 2-week free trial of the callers, of the fake callers.
The War of Roses one?
It wasn't War of the Roses. You could use them for whatever you wanted. You just got like 3 calls a week and you could use them for whatever you wanted. So fed them like topics, and we'd say, so they would call in and they'd be like, and I remember exactly what it was. It was a guy who calls in and goes, hi, Brother Weeze, it's Jeff from Webster, New York, wondering your take on the Casey Anthony trial and everything that, and you just literally, like, as soon as that guy started talking, Billy and I made eye contact, like Billy was in on it, like, and Billy and I made eye contact. We're like, he's going to sniff this out. And you did. You just immediately were like, bro, what? What? Have you ever called this show before? What makes you think I want to talk about Casey? It was so great.
Yeah, but those War of the Roses ones are really, really, if they were real, they'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, well, they're recorded ahead and edited. Yeah.
Well, bloods are made up, bro.
Yeah,
You don't think that shit's real, I hope.
No.
They're made up. They're scripted.
Yeah.
She's an actress. She's the woman.
Well, Weez, I want to tell you something. You say you don't have any talent, and I know you've always said that, and everybody goes, yeah, you have a ton of talent. Do you know what you have, though? And if I could say again, it's something that rubbed off on me, and I'm so thankful for it, and that is you have a natural curiosity. You are a curious person. You love learning about people and what they do and things, and you are not afraid to say when you don't know something, or when somebody is, and you're not afraid to just say, can you tell me about that, or explain that to me, or, you know, I'd never heard of that. And now that I'm in business, and we've gotten to the point now where I sit in some rooms where I'm by far the dumbest person, and I think that it is such a skill that, again, I learned from you, which is to be able to sit in that room and be the dumbest person. Just allow that to happen and not feel like I have to step up to the table. And
Yeah, but pretty soon you'll be smart.
Well, no. The truth is, it's that I don't ruin things by trying to be the expert. Yeah. If I don't know something, I will just get the person, either hire or ask, or just somehow get a hold of the person that does know the thing. I'm not embarrassed to say I don't know and find the answer. And I think that came from you, because you were really good about just being naturally curious.
Bro, how's your house and everything?
It's good. I don't know if I'm going to end up where Donahue ended up. For anybody who doesn't know, Mike Donahue grew up in the house that I live in right now. The guy that tore the house down and built the new house on the Intercoastal actually grew up in the house I live in. Yeah.
Not only that, you know, his company, Premium Mortgage, is the number one mortgage company, second or third year in a row. And he's in about four or five cities. He's killing it.
Yeah, I'm having dinner at Avino Friday night. I'm thinking about breaking into his building. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's right next to there on Monroe Avenue. Where Premium Mortgage. Yeah. Yeah, that's like his official office.
Well, he owned that building.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah. Yeah.
No, he owned it a long time ago. Oh,
okay.
Ago.
Okay.
That's why Avino is in there.
Yeah. So, no, that was go ahead.
I shouldn't. That was Tony D's old girlfriend.
Oh, that's right. Janine. Right. That's right. Yeah. She's a sweet girl.
Oh, but Janine, may Tony rest in peace. Yeah. Janine had to give Tony the pipe for, you know, his lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing good though. Janine's doing that restaurant does well. I was in there a couple weeks ago picking up a gift card for Big Brothers Big Sisters Gala, and they were busy on like a Wednesday night. They're doing good.
She's married to the chef still, yeah. I presume.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What about have you been to Grinnell's new thing there yet?
They haven't actually opened it yet. No. I was texting with Marty, which is one of the two partners, you know. And he's excited about it. I mean, I drive by there all the time because I live right around the corner from there, and yeah, I always try to like peek in there and see if there's work going on. It looks like there's work going on inside, but the outside hasn't changed yet. Yeah. So we can wrap up, but I really appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Bro, you're the dude, man. I will tell you, you know, we almost ended this without me bringing up the best bit of my radio career.
I mean,
your boy, he even knows what it is.
Yeah.
I can see it on his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was so, I mean, to this day, Paulie, man, God strike me dead, I think about, what's his name? Chet Walker going, somebody, Chet, in the elevator. And that, I mean, that, oh my God, was that the funniest shit ever.
Oh God.
Did we play it at boot camp?
Yeah, I think we played it at boot camp. Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think we won an iPad for that one. Again, though, from that morning, just again, testament to you, and you don't understand how much talent you do have, because that morning I was busy and didn't get any prep done. And I told you why at like 5:55 before we went on the air. I'm like, Weez, listen, I had an accident this morning. I told you everything. And I go, and so I just got to the studio like 5 minutes before you did. And I really just did not get any prep done. And like I told you, I go, what happened was I got to work and like I got in the elevator and I shit my pants. And I think Chet stepped in it. So I have to deal with that. And like, I just didn't get any prep done. I'm so sorry. And you looked at me and you go, oh, bro, we don't need prep. That's the whole show.
Like, it was the best.
I'm just going to find that clip. I'm going to play it on the PA in the Craft Cannery in Bergen, New York.
They don't need to know about that.
He doesn't work at your job.
No. He owns a podcast network, actually.
Bro, how does that shit work?
Yeah, so we're all small. So we just launched in January, and Polly was generous enough to join. I've been running Food About Town food podcast for a decade in town, and we're lean, we're small. We have people, photographers, we have artists, we have people talking about movies, and we're trying to be Rochester based, doing the stuff, talking about the things that make people want to be in Rochester. It's not just the festivals; it's all the things that make people, you know, the richness of a town. You know, it's the stuff, it's the little things. It's the Anomaly Film Festival that's kicking on now. I got buddies that are running that podcast. So we're trying to bring...
Are you a big film fan?
Yeah, I love the stuff, man. It's, you know, I talk about food mostly, but I get a chance to be involved and produce. Like, I produce like half of the shows on the network too. And I get to be involved with all this stuff and being around the people that have that kind of energy. And that's the kind of thing when I remember you were talking earlier about having that new energy come in. And when you see that in somebody, when you see that, you know, hey, they've got that thing, they've got that energy, they've got that personality. Like, I'm looking for that all the time now. Yeah. Like, hey, could you do that thing? Could you bring something cool to the people of Rochester that you need to get out to? There's something about that when you find that somebody that just, that spark is just so exciting in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a podcast?
Yeah, Food About Town. I've been talking about food and bev in Rochester for a decade almost.
Oh, I think I might remember you from a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I might have been on very early.
I was a fan of his back even when I was still working with Huey's. I would listen to his podcast and sometimes talk about it on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul, is he or you in the room with you?
Yeah, we're sitting right across the table from each other.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was only asked that because are you physically with all the podcasts you do?
Yeah, so I'll send you a couple. I'll have Polly send you some pictures. We've got a 6-mic production level studio.
Oh,
studio.
You're in my house. His joint.
Yeah, I'm in his place. Oh. He's got a nice studio here. He built it. Right. I'm in his house. I'm in a random neighborhood. Are we in Irondequoit?
Yeah, technically, yeah. But yeah. we've got a 6-mic broadcast level studio in my house because the tech nowadays is so much easier. You don't have to have those giant analog boards with somebody everything. I got a tiny board. I got beautiful mics, and
like,
it's,
we're like in a neighborhood. Like it's the amazing. Guy next door just took out his garbage. Like I'm watching him. Take out his,
the only reason I asked you was because when I get ready to do a podcast, but I got to figure out how to do it from here.
I'm on you, man. Any moment, any day, I will make sure you get everything set up. We'll get you set up with tech and everything.
We only have about 2 minutes left because it's going to shut off again, and we might as well just call it. But I wanted to ask you, I have a question I really want to ask you, but I have to ask you a preliminary question before that, which is if and when you eventually leave radio, do you think you will know when you're doing your last show? Or are you going to go till you physically cannot go anymore?
No, I'm going to go till they give me the pipe, which could be any day.
Okay. All right. So that kind of hurts my next question, because my next question was going to be, if you ever do a last show, like a last show, if you can please just remember, I would love in some way, shape, or form just to help. Just be part in listen, some way to help you with that.
Listen, if I ever get a real last show, you know, I have to have you and all of
you. You got to bring everybody. Yeah. You got to bring everybody back. But so pros and cons, I said, when I left radio, pros and cons. The cons were, I already told you, the Broadway theater thing. The other big con was that I always fantasized about helping plan and produce your last show and doing what you just described, getting everybody who's ever played a role ever in the history of the show to be a part of that show.
Well, you just reminded me of something great. Well, you did a lot of great shit, seriously, Paul. Yeah. But you actually arranged that meet and greet with Tedeschi Trucks.
That's right.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, that was part of the reason why I got on everyone's shit list, though, because I did that kind of around management. Because to be honest with you, and this is the part where you don't have to listen to me on this, because I'm going to talk some shit on your management real quick, because I knew if I involved them, they would fuck it up. So I knew I needed to plan it myself, and was it not perfect? And if I had involved them, they would have done something to screw it up.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. And let me tell you, I hate to call it a cult, but they're so big now in a cult type of way. They do the Beacon Theater on a week for a week. They're playing Red Rocks for 3 straight days. They're all over the country. They're going to Japan. And they have a cult of people that are just, and for them to do, you did that.
Yeah.
Bro,
you did it because they loved you. But Weez, this is about to cut us off. So I just want to tell you, I love you. I appreciate you.
Love you.
Thank
too,
you.
Bro. I'm proud of you.
You got peanut butter coming in the mail. And and I'll talk to you soon, hopefully, okay?
See you, Chris.
See you, brother Weez.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Brother Ham Sauce.